All right, longer. Let's do it.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
We are back. Lively conversation here. I'm very grateful to all of you who are listening and participating. I talked with you about a girls' high school basketball team that ran up the score just massively against the other high school, and they won 92-4. And the coach got penalized. He was told by the school that he was suspended for the next game. And I disagree with it, and I certainly stick by my position on this issue. And
we cross?
No, we're not cross. Not at all, as a matter of fact. But I had a great call. I mean, you're all great callers, but a great caller just before the break. And she had brought up a couple of items that I didn't have a chance to respond to. So I thought I would just offer a few thoughts now that we're on the other side of the break. Because she was talking about sportsmanship, and she had brought up it's not whether you win or lose, but how you play the game. And I think she and I had a meeting of the minds, because I don't agree with that 100%. In other words, yeah, it absolutely is necessary, especially if you're a Christian, that you show Christian charity and virtue and sportsmanship and all of those things in how you conduct yourself on the court. But if you're there to win, you're there to win. And I have some thoughts about that I'll come to in a minute. But the one thought that I wanted to share that I didn't have time to do is that obviously, you know, the story as it's reported in the New York Times doesn't tell us if this was happening. But if the girls on the winning team were taunting the other team, if they were making fun of them, if they were, you know, going out of their way to try to embarrass them and, you know, really make fun of them in that way, that would not be sportsmanlike conduct, not at all. And I would deplore that. And I would say that's the kind of thing that they should be, you know, in some form or another, penalized on. So if the coach was with his winning team, if he had taught the girls to be haughty and disrespectful and taunting, then I think it would have been absolutely right for the coach to be disciplined. But there's no evidence that any of that was going on in this game. So if, without that being mentioned, I think it's not unreasonable to assume that these girls were just that much better, and they wound up scoring all these points. And, you know, this is not a new topic. This is not something that for the very first time am I ever thinking about it, nor for you for that matter. So obviously things like sportsmanlike conduct and learn how to win graciously and learn how to lose graciously and shake hands at the end of the game, no matter what may have happened, and to not look at the other team as an enemy, but, you know, these are just your competitors. These are all obvious aspects of sports, especially children's sports, that I think all of us can agree on. So please don't think that I'm disagreeing about any of those things, because I'm not. Nonetheless, when somebody says, well, you're teaching the kids how they're supposed to be in life, well, you know, think about that for a minute. You know, if you have your investments in, let's say, a money management fund, and the fund managers are doing so well in managing that fund year to year, and maybe you're experiencing, maybe you're experiencing 15, 20, 30% in, you know, that your money is earning that much in interest, let's say 30% in interest, and the next nearest hedge fund manager or money market manager maybe is only pulling in 10%. Do you want your financial manager to just back off and just say, well, okay, it's humiliating to these other guys for me to be making such bigger margins in the way that I'm managing the money, your money, by the way. In life, would you call your money manager up and say, you know what, you're hitting 30% a year, it's great, but you're humiliating your competition. Can you just back it down, please? And maybe only earn me 15% or 12%, because otherwise you're humiliating the other guys. No, you're not going to do that. Airlines, on-time rates, losing your luggage rates, all the ways in which the airlines are measured in their customer service, in all the ways, you know, accidents that nobody wants to have. I mean, all the ways in which you might measure an airline. If let's say that one of the airlines is just beating the pants off of everyone else in all these categories, they're doing so much better, and it's humiliating the other airlines, do you, would you call the CEO of the airline and say, can you guys just stop showing off? Could you just back it down, please? Because you're humiliating the other airlines because you're doing so well. Of course not. What you're going to do is that's the airline you're going to fly on. And the competition is good because it's going to make those other airlines embarrassed. And they're going to say, well, we can't continue like this. We've got to get better. Companies in general. You take any company. And let's face it. I mean, when you graduate from high school, if you don't become, you know, if you're going to go into a field that involves in some kind of way business, you're involved in competition. And so it seems to me to be a misguided notion to rest upon this idea that, well, we're going to teach the kids to not win big if they can win big because somehow it humiliates the other team. No. So, I mean, if they're not taunting, if they're not being disrespectful, if they're not going out of their way to, you know, really rub the other team's face in it, there's nothing wrong with a team winning big. Would you want your favorite NFL or NBA sports team to pull back just because they're destroying the other team in the Super Bowl? Of course not. Would you want the military to do that? Of course not. I mean, this is where there's a disconnect, it seems to me. We need to teach our children sportsmanlike conduct. We need to teach them compassion. We need to teach them all these things. So please, again, don't misunderstand and think I don't endorse that perspective. But it's wrongheaded, if you ask me, to springboard from that to say that if the team is doing as best they possibly can, that somehow they're not allowed to win big if they can. I think that's a bridge too far. And I don't think that the earlier considerations really support that. So I wanted to share those things with you. And I recognize that many of you disagree with me. I totally get that. You know, you coaches who have been coaching basketball for 30 years, you may disagree with me. But I'm being honest with you. That's my perspective on this. Cyrus, anything to add before I proceed?
I don't know. You know,
you're anxious to weigh in.
No, I'm not. But since you asked, you know, I played basketball for 20 years, you know, recreationally, and all of my best friends are 6'4", 6'5", and I'm a bigger guy, so I had to play against them, and they're way better than me, way taller than me, and they would crush me at first, and I got better and better and better to where I could hold my own, and then I'd go and I'd play other big guys that were way better and bigger than me, but I could hold my own because I had gotten better by playing better players. So
and did they back off their game just to no. just to give you?
And I would have been offended if they had. It would have upset me if they had backed off.
So for the person who says, "Well, this team didn't show mercy to the other team," you know, like when you're playing basketball, should they have shown you mercy and geared down their playing, or should they have just played their hearts out?
They should
and
play
won
their hearts
big?
Out. Of course, they yeah. should play their hearts out. And at the end of the game, whether they crushed me or not, we were friends, and it was fun. We were having right. fun. It's at the end of the day, it is just a game, and there's things to learn from losing big or losing by 1 point hurts worse than losing big. quite honestly,
yeah.
Yeah,
no,
so
I
don't know. I understand the viewpoints of all of these callers. I really do. I just disagree.
I do too. And I, you know, the whole thing about showing mercy, you know, yes, to a point, but that's not what you're there to do. You're practicing and all the time and energy that goes into practicing to get good at your sport. The goal is to win. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. There is absolutely nothing wrong with winning. And if you have a spectacular win over your opponent, there's nothing wrong with that either.
That's right. And there's no report in here that's saying that the players were taunting or, you know,
yeah,
talking smack or yeah. whatever.
And that would be wrong. And if I were the coach, I would have shut that down.
Absolutely. I would bench a player. I would bench a player if I wasn't winning by 80 points that was taunting and acting like that.
I agree. So I'm arguing for a more of a balance. And anyway, not to make too fine a point, but thanks for adding that in there, Cyrus. So let's go now to Frank in Austin, Texas. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Patrick. Great show. Great topic.
Thank you. Thanks.
I was coaching Boys and Girls Club basketball back in 1990 when I was a young man. And at that time, I had a group of young boys, about middle school age, and I had a style of play that was up-tempo, high pressure. I had some very talented young boys play the game. Uh-huh. And we had a very successful winning season. We had a game where we got up on a team by 30 points. And the referee came over to me and said that I had to pull back the full court pressure and had to stop the fast break offense because the rules said that we couldn't do this, you know, because we're up by 30. Mm-hmm. And as you know, very often in sports is very much a mental game, and we're of mental swings up and down because of momentum.
Yep. And, so you could be up 30.
That was
you can be up 30 points in the third quarter, and then you could still, you know, that can change quickly.
We ended up losing the game, Patrick. We ended up losing by four.
Because you were forced to back off, right?
Exactly. And because you're forced to back off. And then, as you know, in sports, as I was making a point a moment ago, much of sports is about mental, about momentum, the swings of the game, and it's hard to get momentum back. Yeah. So you
lost your momentum, and the other team got their momentum, and they caught up with you and beat
exactly.
you. That must have been so galling for you
exactly.
and your team.
Exactly. And, it's not... Yes, I agree about sportsmanship in the sense that you don't taunt, you don't mock, you don't talk smack, that type of stuff. But you're to go out there and, yes, have fun, but do the ultimate best you can. As I taught my son, because my son is a swimmer, and I told him to, you know, when it came to practice time, practice like it was game time. Practice like it was game time, and if he practiced like it was game time, then come game time, he would be putting out his very best each and every time. And I told him, don't worry about the winning or losing, because as long as his times improved, it's going to reflect on where he placed.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. What about, I mean, to extend the point that you're making here, because a lot of people, you know, they – we'll come back to the idea of, well, we're teaching the kids about life. We're giving them life lessons. And I think I understand what they're saying. But what about, was it Michael Phelps, I think it was, who just destroyed everybody in the Olympics, and he won some insane number of gold medals. He trained his whole life to win. Well, and, what should the Olympic coach have told him? Listen, back it down, please. Can you just, you're humiliating the other swimmers. You know, you're coming in so much faster than they are. You really need to be a good sportsman. You really need to back off. And just, can you just, like, not do your best? Of course not. Absolutely not. And this is the point I'm trying to make, is that I think it's a nice idea when you think about, well, we have to teach kids compassion, all that. And we do. But that's not the real world when it comes to competition, as you yourself know. And we wouldn't have told Michael Phelps, I hope I'm not getting his name wrong. And if the coach had told Michael Phelps, you're humiliating the other swimmers, can you just back off a little bit? Then that coach should have been fired. Because the goal of an Olympic coach is to train Olympians to win gold medals. That's what they're there to do. They're not there to teach a life lesson to the other swimmers.
Correct. As you may know, in California, there's a very successful high school team, Catholic high school team, that won 151 games. There was a movie made about it, about De La Salle High School and all, and how you have to, when you hit that bump in the road, it's all, again, about mental. That's the life aspect that a lot of people and callers are missing. How do you handle that?
I don't think they're missing it. I want to be fair, you know, because I like it when people are fair to me. And I hear what you're saying, Frank. Thanks for the call. No, I don't think that callers are missing that. My sense is that maybe they're leaning too heavily on that. In this little microcosm of a game, you know, the Sacred Heart Girls High School basketball game, this is just kind of a microcosm. We're looking at the bigger picture through this particular game. And all I'm advocating for is a sense of balance that, yes, we should be teaching good sportsmanlike conduct. We should, you know, win graciously, lose graciously. Don't see the other people on the other team as your enemies or anything like that. We definitely have to teach all of these sports and athletics related virtues, no question about it. But at the same time, we can't lose sight of the fact that to say, you know, that we're going to penalize the coach and make, you know, suspend him as the school did for the next game because his team won and they won so big, I think that's missing the whole point. And it's certainly not ultimately the way real life really is. You know, take that school, Sacred Heart High School. I know nothing about it other than the story I read in the New York Times. So let's say that in terms of academic rankings, let's say that school blows the doors off of all of their competitor schools because of their, you know, their very high standards and the success rate of their students going into college and test scores and in any metric that high school might stand out against the field. Do you think for a minute that the board of directors is going to tell the principal or the teachers, you know what, you're humiliating the other schools who can't compete at our level, so can you just back it down a little bit and not do so well, and let's have our test scores not as good, or the kids getting into college, not so many, and because, you know, it's humiliating to the other schools? Of course not. Of course. I mean, it doesn't even, that's all. If you want to teach the kids lessons that are appropriate for life, good sportsmanship conduct is one of them, but it's not the only one. And when it comes to competitive sports, it's not the main one. At least not if you're winning really well. You shouldn't penalize the kids for doing what they were trained to do. I want to get to other people's opinions, not just my own. So let's take a break. I'll catch my breath and I'll go straight to you and your phone calls. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Patrick Madrid Show. Rita on Twitter says, Patrick, I've seen blowouts where they stopped tracking the score of the really good team, but they just kept playing the game. Yeah, that seems reasonable to me. Let everybody have fun. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Art in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Hi, Art.
Hi, Patrick. So I wanted to ask a couple questions that I think are probably yes or no. So last weekend, I was helping my mother-in-law clean her house, and it was something that was only supposed to take until about 5 o'clock or so, but then I'm taking longer. And I was going to go to Mass at about 5, and then I just couldn't do it. So I just went home and went to Mass. I did the replay of Father Mike. Did I fulfill my obligation?
No.
Okay. So that's something I have to confess.
Well, I mean, I would think so. If it was your own fault because you didn't plan properly, then yeah, I would confess that, because the Sunday obligation is a serious obligation, and to miss it intentionally is a serious sin. Now, there could have been extenuating circumstances. I mean, you might have become so absorbed in your work that you lost track of time, and then you look up, and oh my gosh, Mass ended an hour ago. I mean, things like that could be the case, but assuming that it was within your control to get to Mass and you just didn't go through negligence, yeah, I would personally bring that up in confession.
Okay, so by extension, if I'm looking at my day and I think, you know, it's probably most convenient for me to go to Mass at this time, uh-huh, and I'm just going to stay home and listen to Father Mike, that also would be.
When you say Father Mike, do you mean like your local pastor, or do you mean Father Mike Schmitz, or what do you mean?
Yes, Mike Schmidt.
Yeah, so keep in mind that it's really great to have the ability to watch Mass on television, but that in no way substitutes or fulfills your Sunday obligation.
Okay, so, good. Thank you for letting me know that.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Okay, so I'm as a coach, you know, I feel bad for the guy that just called and his kids. It seems like they were handcuffed, and yes. I think they, you know, were kind of told you're doing something wrong, and I think it affected the spirit of the team. But the first two coaches that called, that's where my heart is. I look at this and I think you have in sports in a separate world a fraternity among coaches, mm-hmm. and there's kind of like this unwritten understanding that. You're trying to beat the other team, but you're not trying to break them. You know, you want to show compassion, because in sports you get a chance to do that. We're talking about human relationships, and then by extension, at war, you take prisoners. You don't slaughter people if you can help it. And if a business is doing really, really well, the CEO has an opportunity to use some of their success to donate to the community and things like that.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing, though. I mean, it's. I appreciate the soft spot in your heart for this. I do. I mean, and I'm with you. We should teach good sportsmanlike conduct. We should teach compassion. If the kids had been, or the coach for that matter, were taunting the other team. I mean, there are plenty of ways in which
that's exactly what the first two guys were. The first two guys that I heard, that's exactly what they were saying.
But no, I don't think they were, because neither of them brought up taunting. I only brought that up after the fact. Not only that, there was no mention.
Right.
But there was no mention in the story that there was any taunting going on.
Right, but I talk to coaches like that, and I know exactly that that's what they meant.
Well, okay, but they could have said it. They didn't say that, is all I'm saying. If you're reading between the lines, fair enough.
Well, it's 'cause when you,
but what is wrong with the team
winning big? Before I think of all the things I could have said, it happens all the time.
Me <What's> too. With? I know what you mean. But okay, so let me ask the question bluntly. They won 92-4. What's wrong with that?
Exactly what you said. If it's a matter of pressing till the end of the game, if the kids are laughing and high-fiving,
but they weren't.
For their 80th point.
But they weren't doing that.
We don't know. Yeah, see, well, I've been on that side too.
I'll bet you, though, if they were doing it, that would have been a big part of the story. Because,
right. Well, yeah,
you know,
we don't hear the whole story. We don't. At least I'm sure we could read it in their local newspaper.
Well, let's make it clean, Art. Let's make it really clean. Let's just say this hypothetical situation, and none of that went on at all. Hypothetical, none of the girl players were taunting. It was all, you know, good sportsmanlike conduct. The coach was not doing anything, but they just won 92-4. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, that happens. Because it's happened to me, and I've been in the same situation too. You know, but sometimes you play. Okay, one time I got beaten by a team where the guy played his substitutes the whole second half, but every single one of his substitutes would have been a starter on my team. At the end of the game, he was coming up to me. He had his head down a little bit, but I shook his hand. I said, hey, you got a great team. It kind of like told him, hey, I understand what you were trying to do. And
so what's wrong with winning 92-4?
Again, if he's playing his subs and his subs are just better and he's getting kids a chance that never play, I get it. And the other coach should get it. And the principal should get it. But he's running up the score because he thought, dang, I got a chance to score 100 points on these guys. And that's wrong.
What's wrong with that?
It's not teaching the kids how to be humble. It's not teaching the kids how to be compassionate. That's the opportunity that we have in sports. And we hope that, you know, we're not telling them be a loser. Lose when you're winning because you don't want the other company to feel bad. But you're giving the kid a chance to learn a relationship and teach other people with respect. And that's the thing, is you're teaching kids how to behave towards their fellow man.
And when they get out into the workaday world and in academics, does any of that ever apply? I would say no. So
well,
if they go
they
into
succeed,
the... Let's say that student who played on the high school team and is told, you know, you got to be humble. You're really good, but you can't show it. The other team is not as good as you are, so you can't show it. You got to be humble. Okay, I'm all in favor of humility. But what if that same student has to sit for the SAT exam and is just really, really good and way better than all the other kids in the room? Are you going to tell the kid, hey, you know, don't try your hardest. Don't get the top score that you know you could get because you're going to humiliate the other kids. You need to just be humble and not win.
But if you teach that kid to be cocky, about how good he is at math.
We're talking about two different things. Right. See, you're bringing in the cocky and you're bringing in the taunting and stuff. And I'm saying, in the case of this high school team, there's no evidence that that took place. So how is it cocky for a girls' high school team to win 92-4 and for, let's say, one of the girls on that high school team to go into the SAT exam room and blow the doors off 99% of everyone else in the room because she can?
Yeah, see,
that's not cocky.
But that's not the same. That's not a parallel. How about the parallel? You take that kid and you say, hey, you know what you should do? You should volunteer to tutor because you're so much ahead of these other girls. You know,
yeah, but that
and
doesn't
help them gain confidence in math. You're teaching a personal.
It is a parallel. No, it is a parallel, and you're bringing in an add-on, and I'm okay with that. Sure, since you're so gifted and you do so well, definitely, if you'd like to tutor and help other students, but the parallel remains.
Don't go around pointing at kids' math errors and saying you're stupid. Like,
no, but see, Art, you're moving the field goal here or the goalpost. I'm not talking
really
about taunting. Yeah, you are, because you're bringing up taunting and making fun of them. And
I'm saying
no, listen, please. If the same girl whose team won, I'm just picking one of the five girls, her team won 92-4 against another team, okay? Your position is she wasn't being humble. Just by winning, she wasn't being humble. So the coach would say, all right, be humble, back it down, don't try so hard, don't score so much. Would you tell the same girl when she had to sit for the SAT exam and knows the material front and back and can destroy this, by way of score, her competition, would you tell her that she's not being humble if she does the best she can on the SAT exam?
The central figure of the story is the coach. Did the
that was
coach
a question.
Play those five
Art,
girls
that was a
the
question.
Whole time, or
what
about
do you think about that question?
The 12th girl? I know what you're saying. The point, though, is the coach. And the thing is, how did he win?
But that wasn't my question, Art. If I may, with all respect, I asked you about the girl, the athlete. And I'm just saying, take that athlete. If she's being told by her coach, we're going to keep the coach in here. The coach is saying, you know what? That's not humble of you. You're winning too much. You're way better than this other team. Stop doing that. Okay, all I'm asking you is, would you endorse that same advice to that same girl when she goes into the SAT room to take the test and she could blow the doors off the other students because she can? Would you tell her the same thing? Would you say it's not being humble if you get a perfect score on the SAT?
No, but did the coach play those five girls, or did he give the 10th girl and the 11th girl a chance to play?
You're avoiding my question.
Played the team.
You're avoiding my question.
No, I'm not. No,
you
I'm
are.
Not. No, you tell that kid to do his personal best. But
then why not do the same thing in the game?
Because if you tell the five girls run up the score as opposed to letting the 10th girl and the 12th girl play, you are not being a good sport. If the coach did that, there's nothing wrong with what he did.
We're talking about the specific single student here. One girl, not the 10th girl or the 11th girl.
But it's not the team that got suspended. It's the coach that got suspended.
Yeah, I know that, Art.
And it's about what he did.
I know. But see, the thing is, you're avoiding this parallel because I think it hurts your argument. It hurts your argument. So if the coach said to this, let's say that this girl was the high score.
You are bringing up a different story because you're bringing up the individual kid.
Let me just rephrase it. I promise you I'll give you the last word. Let me rephrase it, though. Let's say that this girl is the high scorer for the basketball team. She's responsible for, let's say, 79 of those 94 points. And what you're saying is that the coach should say to her, that's not humble. You're not being humble. You need to back off. You're showing off. She's not taunting anybody. She's just playing really well. My question to you is, would you take that same approach to the same student in another competitive arena, in this case, the SAT exam, and tell her the same thing? Don't score as high as you normally would score because it's humiliating for the other students who can't score as high as you are. And you're showing off and you are being arrogant by doing that. Would you give her the same advice in the SAT arena that you would in the basketball arena?
No, but in a basketball game, I'd say at halftime, hey, I'm going to let your other teammates play because they don't get a chance to play and they're going to go ahead and they're going to finish the game. Just sit on the bench and root for your teammates.
All right. Okay.
Right, Matt.
Well, it was a lively conversation.
I like talking to you. I like listening to you. I've learned a lot from you, and I've become a better Catholic because of you, and thank you so much.
You're very gracious, Art. You really are. And I reciprocate your feelings, and I'm glad you called today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Good stuff. And, you know, we can be vigorous in our discussions about this. Nothing wrong with being vigorous, but please know I respect you. I really appreciate what Art just said. And that's the same spirit in which I discuss these issues with all of you, whether you agree with me or not. I respect you, and I appreciate that you're taking time to share your view with me. 888-914-9149. Let's go to John in Minneapolis. Hi, John.
Hi. It's John from Minneapolis, and I wanted to comment on the discussion you've been having about the girls basketball, and I wanted to shed light on it. I'm not sure if this will have much impact on the discussion, but just shed light on the dynamic that could be occurring here between the two teams and maybe the team in the league and that sort of thing. But Jordan Peterson, the author and psychologist, the professor at the University of Toronto, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think you reference him once in a while, and maybe are fond of him to some extent or some of his work, as am I. And I, in one of his books or on his YouTube videos or something along those lines, I can't remember the context. I wish I could, because I think it would illuminate my point a little bit better. But he references a study, which I thought was really fascinating, and I share that with people, and it's just coincidental that you're talking about this today. He references a study about that was done on puppies or wolves or some sort of animals. That might be lobsters, something sort of unusual like that. But there's a study that demonstrates that as they play between two puppies or lobsters or something, as they play and sort of play fight, if one is more dominant, much stronger than the other, if they dominate too much or if they're too aggressive, the relationship breaks down between the two, and the less dominant player ultimately chooses not to play anymore, or they're not interested in the future.
Okay.
So I just thought that was interesting and related to this.
Mm-hmm.
So even if there's no taunting or no cockiness or there's humbleness being demonstrated by the stronger player, the ultimate result, for whatever reason, the lesser player becomes less interested, which really makes it not fun for either party. So I just thought that was really interesting, and I can see both sides on this, but I just wanted to make that comment.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, these are all important things, dimensions of the overall topic that are interesting to consider. I was not familiar with that particular commentary by Jordan Peterson, but I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I guess I'm not surprised.
And like I said, I can't remember the context, and I think if I could recall that context, I think it would illuminate this discussion a little bit more, but that's my only point. I just thought he had an interesting point about that, and I've seen him reference that a number of times.
So let's extend that. Let's just take that, you know, the point that you just made. Okay. Is that a bad thing? Let me ask the unasked question here. For the team that loses badly, spectacularly badly, is that a bad thing?
Well, I actually lean towards your perspective a little bit more on this, which is if they're playing, if the stronger team is playing fairly, they're being humble and they're just going about their business, then I think I totally lean towards your side on this, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think I
you
follow that
minority.
Completely. And,
you
yeah.
might be in the minority.
Well, I think... You know,
well, is
I
it
think,
a bad thing for a team to get blown out? I mean, for a team to come and just get their, you know, get their clock cleaned. Is that in itself a bad thing? And I'm not challenging you. I'm just curious. What do you think?
Sure. No, I think it sort of leaves a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth, but without knowing more about the situation. I think you've referenced this. I haven't heard much of your dialogue or discussion with other people, but I would want to learn more. And if that's not part of the story, I would withhold my judgment a little bit. But sure, 96-4, I mean, you've got to think, wow, you know, could they have held back a little bit more? And I immediately jump back to this, you know, reference that Jordan Peterson had, and that, you know, ultimately it's gonna, if they keep doing it, even if they do it humbly, it's just, you know, flat out research, black and white, that dynamic is going to occur.
I want to accept the premise as you're presenting it. I accept it. Okay.
Sure.
I'm asking, is that a bad thing? So, and in life in general, is that a bad thing for a company or a salesman or an airline or an army or, you know, you pick really any sector. How about the Olympics? Let me just say the question and then I'll throw it to you. Is there anything inherently wrong with the team getting smoked, just completely destroyed in a competition? I'd have to say, I don't think so. Now, you know, obviously we both agree that we're not talking about taunting or being arrogant or doing anything like that. So assuming that all of those things are not present, in itself, I don't see a problem with an opposing team getting destroyed. I don't see a problem with
it. I think inherently wrong, I don't think it's inherently wrong within the context of the game if it's all clean and humble and not taunting and so on.
Right.
But I think over time, if it keeps going on, I wouldn't say it's right or wrong. I think my point is if Jordan Peterson's assessment of that situation applies to this situation, or whether it's the military, or it'll start to work. This is fact. It's not judgment. It's not opinion. But I think if it starts working against the dominant team and they start losing profits, and let's put it this way, like some people hate the New England Patriots when they were on their streak for so long,
mm-hmm.
just because they kept winning all the time. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And for a segment of people that love the Patriots, then that's a good thing.
They were in heaven.
Yeah, they were in heaven. But if they kept winning decade after decade, I think they do to some degree start reducing their profits.
Fair enough. I've got to jump. I'm overdue for a break, John. So forgive my interruption. And I really appreciate your phone call. Let me just throw out one rhetorical question before we go to the break. And you don't have to, I mean, no one has to answer this, but at least I'm wondering what you think about it. What if this girls' basketball team, to use them as an example, beat every single competitor at any high school 94-2, or it's so incredibly lopsided. What if every single other team they ever played always lost badly to them? They were just that good. Would you penalize that team and tell them, you know what, you really shouldn't be playing. You're too good for everyone else. Therefore, would that be fair to those girls? Would that be fair to their coach who had worked so hard? I mean, that's going to the extreme, but I mean, that's another part of all this. At what point does it become wrong to tell the team that's winning, you're not allowed to win anymore? Anyway, something to think about. I'll be right back.
I'm ready to go in, coach. Just give me a chance. I know there's a lot riding on it, but it's all psychological. Just got to stay in a positive frame of mind.
Let me ask you, can the Catholic Church have a future if we Catholics don't understand our past? Experience history the way it should be taught in a new free online class from Christendom College. Just go to principlesclasses.com/Madrid.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com.
All right, we are back. Talk about unpredictable conversations. Let's go to Claire in Evansville, Indiana. Good morning, Claire.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi there.
I just wanted to chime in on the basketball, the girls' basketball. I was on I was on that team back in, I graduated in 82, and I was on that team that lost 92-4, 65-10, game after game after game. And, of course, back in the 80s, you cried after every game that you lost, but things, times have changed.
So you were on the team that won, or you were on the team that lost?
I was on the losing team.
Okay, I get
it. And so I know what that feels like as a teenager. And retrospectively, looking back to that, you know, you remember what affects you. And but I don't remember thinking it's the other team's fault or we're being bullied. And but neither did my coach or my parents relay that message to me. I just remember thinking we're just not very good. And I don't, in regards to the situation that you're discussing, I don't believe anybody needs to be punished for that, the coach or the team, or make it look like we're punishing this person for winning or being well-skilled in their sport. I think that by doing that, that we, for me at least, that was a very good opportunity to develop some coping skills of, I'm not really good at this. I need to move on something onto something else.
That's a good
and
point.
And so just a life skill learned there for me. And I hope my other team members, and I think that many of them retrospectively would say that. We never had animosity towards the, I can say we never did. I didn't feel we had animosity towards the other team that beat us so badly. But that went on for several years. And
I'm sorry, go ahead, Claire.
No, I just remember having, we all had the goal that we're going to be the first team to win. And we eventually got that win. So anyway, we were the losers, but we had a goal to be the first team to ever win a basketball game.
That's a good point.
Accomplish that. So,
you know, you raise an interesting angle here too that I hadn't really discussed on this program today. And that is, if you penalize the team that's winning so big, I mean, you know, 92-4, whatever it was, in a way, it also deprives the losing team of any incentive to really try harder. Because if they know we're going to go into a game and they're going to baby us and they're going to, you know, make accommodations because we're not that good, what is your incentive to get better?
Right. And it takes it kind of, when you're punishing someone, it can serve a poor me attitude towards the losing team. So in some respects, I mean, and I remember some of those teams beating us so badly, you know, they cleared the bench and they still played as hard and we still got beat just as bad. But, I mean, I can have a sense of humor about it now. I'm putting it in perspective, but high school sports, I think, are more awesome than any other college pro. I played college, but high school is where it's at as far as teaching those life skills, coping skills. And if it's anything we need to instill in our teenagers and our young adults right now, it is coping skills, because we don't let them have any kind of defeat or sadness without us coming to the rescue anymore.
Yeah, everyone gets a trophy. It's part of that bigger picture where we don't let people, you know, it can be taken to extremes. We have to let children grow up and realize that life is competitive. You know, if you really like that girl, you may have to compete against some other guy to win her heart. You're going to have to compete in your test scores in college. You're going to have to compete in the business world. That's the way life is, and there's nothing wrong with it. And so my concern is, and you've done such a great job, Claire, of articulating another aspect of it. My concern is that it takes it too far if you coddle, you know, I'm talking about underage kids. You're coddling them in a way that's not healthy, and it's teaching them some of the wrong life lessons. It can get to that point, I guess, is what I'm saying. And you're a good example of somebody who learned some really good life lessons by losing, which is valid.
Yes. Yes. Again, I can look at it with a sense of humor this many years later. It is painful to lose, but we have to cope with losing our whole life. I mean, life is not fair, regardless of what angle was taken to win that game. Right. It's still another lesson on life is not fair, and we need to continue to instill coping skills in our children.
Excellent and well put. Yeah, and I'm not promoting dog eat dog. I'm not promoting, you know, that we should be ruthless or anything like that. All I'm saying, and you and I are on the same page, real life is not like that. And real life requires that you, if you're going to succeed, you're going to have to strive. And if you do strive and you do succeed, somebody's going to lose. That's just how it is. And there's nothing wrong with that. Let's go to Francis in Maryland. Good morning, Francis.
Good morning, Patrick. It's nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
I'm the parent of a Sacred Heart Academy alum.
Oh.
So I know a lot about the school.
Okay.
And it is an amazing school, athletically, but more importantly, academically.
Okay.
And spiritually.
That's good to hear.
It's been many years since my daughter was there, but it's still the same. I don't really follow their basketball team much, but I did look up some things, and the school that they played against, Lyman Hall, has lost every single game they've played this year, and some by big scores.
Not maybe big, that coach as, should have had a talking to instead of the winning coach.
Yeah. Well, I want to throw some of the blame on that coach at any point during this game, and it wasn't a conference game, so. It was sort of a pickup game. He could have stopped the game. He could have said, all right, we're going to concede.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, this is such a blowout. Maybe yeah. we can just play the rest of the game for fun. Maybe your girls can teach my girls something about
that. That'd be super cool. I'd like that.
Yeah. I've seen that happen where a game was stopped by the coaches. They decided mm-hmm. they weren't going to continue, so.
Hey, I have a question for you, Francis, since you were a mom of an alum that went to the school. And I was happy to hear that Sacred Heart, I don't know anything about them other than what we discussed today. I'm happy to hear that they are they're a leader in the academic field. So they probably score very high in the metrics where schools are measured.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think being... You used to pay tuition money to this school. Do you think that the board of directors would tell the principal of the school, hey, you're embarrassing all the other schools because our test scores are so high and our entrance rate into college is so high and all the other ways in which schools are measured are we're just blowing the doors off all of our competition. Would the board of directors or the parents, for example, tell the principal, you know what, that's arrogant. You're not being humble. You need to just don't do your best so that it doesn't make the other schools look so bad. In a million zillion years, could you imagine them telling the principal that?
Never. Absolutely. Every year we used to get listings of all of the colleges that the seniors got into, where they got scholarships. Girls from that school went to Georgetown, to Yale. And they really, the girls are pushed very hard to live up to their abilities.
Mm-hmm.
They're really known in the science area. They have a tremendous science department.
Yeah.
And
STEM, right?
So, yes.
Yeah. Well, very good. Francis, thank you. I appreciate you joining the conversation. Very good. Let's go now to Evelyn, who's been waiting very patiently in Chicago. Hi, Evelyn.
Hi, I was holding on a while. I don't want to repeat, but there was a gentleman that called in earlier that went to a few bishops or counseling or whatever, and he wasn't satisfied. He mentioned something like going backward instead of forward, like he felt like they should know a little more. But then there was a struggle there, I guess. And it's almost like sport, you know. And then he told you he likes listening to you. So from one or two that he wasn't satisfied, rabbis or bishops, I think he said they were priests.
Evelyn, I have to apologize. I'm having a hard time understanding you. I think your phone is acting up a little bit. My apologies. Thank you, though. Let's go to Teresa in Huntington Beach, California. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, good morning, Patrick. In answer to your question, is blowing up a team a bad thing? And if they did it every time or if they did it to every team they played, mm-hmm. I wanted to answer that question for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I would think it would depend on how the coach coached the team. So
okay, so like if he coached the team to be humble and play fair and be good sportsmen, and they just dominated everybody else. So let's assume that for good, you know, just as an example.
I would be okay with it.
Okay. I think I would too.
I would be 100%. I would be okay with it. But referencing the article, I just caught the tail end when you were reading the article mm-hmm. that the coach, he had his team doing the fast break the entire game, and mm-hmm. they did a full court press the entire game.
They did, yeah.
If that's the case and that's four quarters, then I'd understand why that coach would be reprimanded as a coach myself. Because okay. When you do full court press, that's defense, and that's when there's a tight game and you're down. Not when you're up 30 points, 40 points, 50 points. And if they were doing it with their starting.
Fair enough. I, Teresa, I wish we could talk longer. I really do, but just you know, rhetorically, would you tell that to the Olympic coach for the athletes that are going out to win gold medals? I wouldn't. See you tomorrow.